Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of The Winning Drive right here on Owen Texas Football. Appreciate you guys joining us. I am Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by Lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel, also joined by the coach. You know him. He's been a high school football coach at Burnett, at Capel, at Rotan, at Brownwood, also at Belton. Former college football player at Abilene Christian, also coached there multiple stints, and also on the staff at Texas, five different seasons, numerous different roles and responsibilities. He's our coach. It's Coach Bob Shipley. What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
Hey, doing good. How are you, Rod? CJ, you all right?
Oh, yeah, we're hanging in there. A little storm came in through Austin last night, but Rod, I see your walls are still standing, and I still got some Wi-Fi going on over here, so it looks like we're all right.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. No, it's a good. We need some storms. Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Get a little rain. Nothing wrong with that. We'll get into a lot of different things on the show today. We'll start, obviously, with the transfer portal targets for Texas. A lot of Longhorn fans interested in an update on Dominic Williams. Also, what's going on with the transfer portal potential targets at the cornerback position. So we'll start there. Then we'll work our way to some of the other topics. There are some interesting articles. I've been wearing the hat for the last three days.
I'm gonna pull my Charlie Strong finger out on you now.
I'm switching it up. We gotta switch it up, man. I'm just switching it up. I've been wearing it for the last 3 days, Coach.
I know. Yeah, you have.
I've been representing. So I will, trust me. I don't want to wear it out. You can't wear it out, man. I want to keep it fresh, keep it new. Appreciate you guys joining us. Get all your questions in. We'll get to as many of your questions as we can. Those super chats always jump to the front of the line. You can interrupt the show at any time. We'll appreciate those. But there's a 2025 big board that's already out from Pro Football Focus that I want to get your guys' thoughts on, because there are some Longhorns that are represented on that that big board. We'll also get into a discussion about A.D. Mitchell, because A.D. Mitchell, drafted by the Colts, 52nd pick overall. Of course, he dropped in the draft. A lot of people had him as a first-round pick. And basically the video and the audio of the draft room process and the context of drafting A.D. Mitchell, how it all went down, that has been released. And it's really cool. It's really interesting from really start to finish, whenever they traded down to the pick and when they discussed it in the draft room. So we'll talk about that, because I'm sure you guys got a chance to listen to it already. And then the comments from A.D. Mitchell when he was drafted by the Colts. So I want to get into that a little bit. I thought that was cool. There's also reason why you should already be buying Xavier Worthy fantasy stock. All right, I don't play a lot of fantasy, but you already be buying some fantasy stock for Xavier Worthy. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on, too, in the show. And there are now reports about what the cover of the EA Sports College Football video game is going to be, at least what the some of the stipulations may be and exactly how they may the layout may go for the cover. So we'll talk about that a little bit, too. And there are some quarterback rankings out for the best quarterback rooms in the country. I want to examine those because, of course, the Longhorns at the top of that list, as they should be. So we'll get into all of that, of course. But let's start, CJ, with the transfer portal targets for the Longhorns. The number one target, of course, Dominic Williams, the fantastic transfer portal interior D lineman, coming from TCU, but now in the transfer portal, deciding now between four schools, or we narrowed it down to even fewer than that?
Well, we know it was the four schools originally: Texas, Oklahoma, LSU, and Missouri. That was the four schools that he took trips to. Of course, LSU was the most recent. Texas visited him with them late last night. Oklahoma got some words in with him in his camp earlier today. The expectation was a decision would come today. Right now, we're sitting right around 425. I'm not 100% sure that we'll see a decision tonight. I actually think that we'll see this drag on to tomorrow. But I don't think Missouri is going to be a big player in this. And I think that LSU, following his visit, wasn't the most confident. Right now, you're going to see a lot of confidence out of Oklahoma and Texas. So a decision between the two, of course, staying close to home where he was the past 2 years in Fort Worth, it makes sense that Norman's not too far north and Texas and Austin aren't too far south. So right now, to me, it looks like a Red River rivalry battle for the TCU defensive tackle here, Dominic Williams. Will we see a decision tonight? We'll see. I don't think that there's been any concrete plans one way or the other given out by him or his camp. Of course, we might be sitting here in 15 minutes and have to reroute the entire show, Rod, because of a decision. We don't know. My best bet is that we see something tomorrow morning. Again, I do believe that decision comes down to Oklahoma and Texas. Oklahoma feels confident that they made a good impact, a good impression early on. Of course, they had the first visit with Dominic Williams and his crew about 2 weeks ago. So we'll see. On the other hand, Texas is hosting San Jose State cornerback Javion Cole for an official visit beginning today. That began around 11 or 12 o'clock this morning. That will last all the way through Saturday, which is noteworthy, of course, getting him a full look at the campus, the academics, the program, the locker rooms, the amenities, et cetera. The Texas staff, I know that they've been bouncing around all over the country, but they'll have a number of guys on campus today to talk with and meet with Javion Cole, the talented cornerback. Stands about 5'11", so not the biggest, but he's got 10-6 speed out of Oakland Athletic League out on the West Coast. Talented football player, would be a contributing member to the Texas secondary this fall, no doubt about that. So we'll see how that goes after Saturday. And, of course, he locked in an Auburn official visit for the week after, starting the 7th through the 9th as well. I think Texas is looking to lock this one down this weekend, preventing him from getting on the flight and getting out to Auburn next week. So we'll see, of course, on Saturday. But those are the two big transfer portal updates. Big wait-and-see game right now for Dominic Williams.
The real question is, did Javion Cole get the Lamborghini treatment? Did we followed him on the gram? Has he posted? What luxury car has he posted that he got from on his recruiting visit to drive around? Or do we know?
Rod, I'm sure he's in that golf cart still at the moment. I mean, you know, dinner's probably starting around 6 o'clock. We'll see in about an hour and a half what actually he comes up showing up in. But right now, I think he's still on campus getting the lay of the land.
Okay. Just trying to see how bad they want him. Is he Lamborghini? They want him Lamborghini bad, or is he just gonna get, you know, Dodge truck bad? You know what I mean? Like, ain't nothing wrong with it tonight.
Ain't nothing wrong with Dodge pickup.
What? That's a fine automobile. I'm just saying, you know, that's what they might be. Lamborghini. Trust me, I dodge all day. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm all about that. You know, matter of fact, we'll talk about Southport Dodge a little bit later on. Just saying, hey, I'm all about the Dodge. That's what I'm saying. That's why I brought it up. Hey, I got pride in that. You should too, but the Lamborghini, you know, it's a different luxury automobile. It's different. Yeah, I'd rather have a Dodge. I don't want the Lamborghini. Something breaks down the Lambo, I don't know if I got the money to fix it, let alone the money to buy the Lambo, lease it, or rent it, or whatever. All right, so we'll get to that later on. But yeah, that's the update on the transfer portal targets for the Longhorns. Right now, it just seems like it's down to two, right? There's no contingency plan, really, if they don't get one of these guys. They are still positions of need, correct, CJ? But there's no – you haven't heard of anything, any other targets as a contingency plan behind Dominic Williams or behind Javion Cole, correct?
Right. And, I mean, a lot of folks are mentioning Simeon Barrow out of Michigan State. He's more of a three-tech guy that will fly out all the way over to the five technique over the tackle. He doesn't necessarily fit what Texas was initially looking for in the transfer portal, but he is a very talented football player, and he would be addition to this interior defensive line room. Right now, it feels like, to me at least, both of these guys are narrowing decisions, and right now, should Texas pivot all the way back to Simeon Barrow, I'm not sure how much of an opportunity they would have to get into that fight. Another name that's pretty interesting to me is JVR Suggs out of Grand Valley State. Smaller school guy, but he certainly has a lot of film. He's been earning offers left and right. I know Oklahoma just offered him this morning as well. So if you want to read between the tea leaves just a little bit, that might give you an indication of how Dominic Williams is trending. But I'm not here to tell you that's true or not at the moment. All I'm saying is this kid is picking up steam very quickly at the moment. So Texas has yet to reach out to him. I got in contact with Suggs last night. He said he's not heard from Texas. I'm not sure if they're going to pursue. Of course, he's up to about 8 to 10 scholarship offers at the moment since entering the portal. So his recruitment's going crazy right now, as you would expect, and visits are being planned. Texas would have to fight to get back into that one. But of course, I think they have all their chips in the pile right now for Dominic Williams. Of course, we'll just have to wait and see which way that domino falls.
Yeah, especially when you're getting into a heated recruiting battle with your rival. A lot more at stake, it feels like, Now that it comes down to Texas and Oklahoma between Dominique Williams. So we play the waiting game for the young man. So we'll have any updates on that. My man CJ is always in the know. All right, we'll get to as many questions as we can. You guys throw those out there. I got a couple of topics that I want to get to here in the meantime. Pro Football Focus has a 20. So I sent this to you guys, the 2025, way too early, and it is way too early, top 50 big board for the top 50 prospects for the 2025 NFL draft. There's been talk, even I heard, you know, Bobby talking about it with Jerry, that the Longhorns could have double-digit guys drafted next year too. Even then Kirk Bowles put out an article saying the Longhorns could have up to 15 guys drafted next season if everything goes right. Here in this article on the top 50 big board, they got Kelvin Banks. This is the number 6th overall player, period, coach, on the top 50 big board for 2025. This is a guy that probably would have been a top 15 pick no matter when he left, if he could have left after his freshman year. They got him as the 6th overall prospect. Is this guy, coach, is going to get drafted ahead of Quinn Ewers potentially? We talk about Quinn Ewers all the time. It's going to be the top, you know, quarterback drafted, and if he does, that means he could be the number 1 overall pick, and that could be the case. But the likelihood right now is that Kelvin Banks is going to get drafted higher than Quinn Ewers, unless we see that leap. Quinn Ewers will be a first round pick, I believe. But Kelvin Banks is trending toward being a top 10 pick, top 5 pick potentially, depending on what we see and how the chips fall.
Well, he certainly, you know, he only allowed pressure on 3.5% of his true pass sets. And so, you know how it goes. Man, you never know. This year, quarterbacks were the hot commodity. The year or two before that, we sit there and watch the quarterback sitting in the green room, and they're just ho-hum, you know. You don't ever know. But this year was a hot year for quarterbacks. I don't know that we'll see 2 years back-to-back like that. It wouldn't surprise me to see Kelvin Banks being the first Longhorn taken off the board next year.
Yeah, no, as I said, we talk a lot about that, CJ, but, I mean, Kelvin Banks is probably yours. If you had to make a bet on which one, Quinn Ewers or Kelvin Banks, was going to end up being drafted higher, you'd have safer money betting on Kelvin Banks.
Yeah, I think so. Of course, we saw the run on quarterbacks early on this year in the draft. 6 out of the first 12 picks were quarterbacks. Will we see a quarterback needy market again next year? We'll see. Of course, Carson Beck and Shedeur Sanders are two guys that figure to be in that conversation as well. Could you see Riley Leonard make a jump? Of course, Quinn needs a big year. I think there was I don't want to say doubt, but I think there was a lot of question marks that still need to be answered about Quinn. Of course, he just came off of a year in which he had three wide receivers and a tight end drafted, and you still felt like there was more for him to show. Now that he's going into a season right now where it looks like maybe only Isaiah Bond is amongst that group that will get drafted, we'll see what happens with Silas Bolden. What can he elevate his wide receiver group the way that they maybe elevated him a little bit last year? So I'd like to see him, as we talked about last night, Rod, just go out and take over games, put the cape on and show why he was that 1.000 recruit coming out of high school. Right now, Kelvin Banks, to me, there will always be a demand in a market for left tackles, especially good ones like Kelvin Banks, who had a 5-star pedigree coming out of Summer Creek in Humble, Texas. And then, of course, you got to protect those quarterbacks. So, to me, it's all about we've seen what Kelvin Banks can do against big-time elite pass rushers, whether it be Will Anderson, Dallas Turner, Felix Anoduke, Ozuma, you know, they're all these big-time guys in the Big 12 that he faced, he locked down. Starting when he was a freshman, we know that he can take over games on the left side. I think he's by far the safer bet right now.
Yeah, and it's actually, if you look up this up and down this list, the Longhorns will get a chance to face off against some of these really high-level prospects on this list. And if you're Texas, right, Carson Beck, I believe, is 11 on this list of quarterbacks. We talk about Quinn Ewers. Carson Beck is 11. They have Shedeur Sanders at 13 on this list for the overall big board. Quinn is down on this list. He is further down here. Sorry about that. I believe he is 32nd. Yes, he's 32nd. He's 32nd on the list. And if you look at the other Longhorn, they have Isaiah Bond, I believe, is the other Longhorn on this list. And he's 44th on the list. So he's right. I mean, they got him right there being a first round pick. And if you look at the way that the quarterbacks are trending, just how quarterback the desperate teams are getting. I mean, a few years ago, Michael Penix is not a first round pick, and neither is Bo Nix. But because of the injuries and because of the age, those guys drop down. But because of how thirsty teams are for quarterbacks and how desperate they are, those guys, because they have elite traits, they were essentially pushed up into the first round. And teams actually right now, they aren't drafting quarterbacks in the second round as much as they used to. I think I gave this stat on one of the other live streams, but you go look at it in the last 10 years from 2015 to 2024. If you go look at it, they've only drafted 6 quarterbacks in the second round. In those 10 years. In the 10 years prior to that, they drafted 15 of them in the second round. If you go look at quarterbacks taken in the top 16 picks overall, first half of the first round, 31 of them taken in the last 10 years. But in the 10 years prior to that, only 18 of them. So basically what it says is if you're a quarterback and you have you got elite traits, but there's also some downside to your game. Usually would have pushed you down to the second round. Now they look past the downside. They only see the upside. Let's go. It's worth rolling the dice on a quarterback. So Quinn, I believe, because of those elite traits, he will be pushed into the first round unless he just has a horrible, tragic season, which he's not going to have that kind of season. If he just has a season like he had last year, he'll be pushed into the first round. But to be the number one overall quarterback, to be the first pick overall, which he'll be in the conversation for if you're the first quarterback taken, then you got to see Quinn put the cape on, as I always say, and you got to, at that point, see him improve on almost all the weaknesses in his game to show that he really doesn't have a tragic flaw in his game. Right now,
a good indication, Rod, sorry to cut you off, but a good indication of whether or not he's in play for the first overall pick is if he's invited to New York. You know, if he's in the Heisman ceremony, that will tell you right away if folks are looking at him seriously to be that number one overall pick. If you look who went 1-2 this year, I mean, it was Caleb Williams, a Heisman winner, and it was Jaden Daniels, a Heisman winner. So those are the guys that you expect to take over games. We saw them do that in their career, of course. I know that the win losses didn't necessarily line up to the game-changing number one overall quarterback, especially with Caleb this year. But, I mean, we watched LSU's defense not be able to stop essentially a middle school offense at times this past year, and because of the numbers that he was able to put up for Jaden Daniels. I mean, that's why he went number two. Would we see that same kind of offense with Quinn Ewers being running it? I'm not sure. So we'll see, again, what kind of numbers he does put up, how efficient this Texas offense is, and how that complementary run game helps the pass game, because that should be a factor.
Yeah,
I do think the Texas defense is good enough to withstand some of the offenses that Texas will go up and face in the SEC. It's all about the offense and what kind of scoring output he puts up. That's why you see these guys take over games and be in the conversation for the Heisman, which then leads to, you know, top 1, 2, 3, or 5 pick in the NFL draft.
Coach, they got 3 Longhorns in their top 50 for 2025. Is there another Longhorn you could see? If you had to pick one more other Longhorn to be in the top 50, who would it be? Who's your pick? Obviously, take Kelvin Banks, take Quinn Ewers, take Isaiah Bond out of it. If you had to say, there's one more of the Longhorn that could sneak into that top 50 for 2025, who's your one?
Off the top of my head?
No, there are a couple. That I think could do it.
Who are you thinking?
I think some of the secondary guys is possible. If Jade or Makuba, if they have really good years, they could do it. You might have a guy or two on the edge if they have a good year or two, right, CJ?
Yeah, I was looking at Trey Moore. Again, he's not the longest. He's not the tallest edge rusher. I know that's kind of a prereq for those guys that go in the first round. But you look at a guy like Hassan Reddick on the Eagles, who's really been able to string together 10-plus sack seasons for what I think about 4 years in a row. It certainly makes sense with the way that he gets off the ball that it mirrors what Hassan Reddick has done in the NFL. I'm not saying that it's a perfect comparison, but yeah. They are about 6'2". They do weigh about 240. Right now, it makes sense if he has a big year, strings together 8 to 10 sacks, which would be a revelation in Austin that he could be a guy that jumps up.
Yeah, I see two Jaden Blues here. Cisco says Jaden Blue. I saw that Ethan Burke, too. Ethan Burke's an interesting one because he's got the frame. NFL scouts will salivate over that frame. And if that guy ends up putting together a double-digit sack season, which, if you know, if he does that in the SEC, yeah, that might be a decision to make or two there. So I think there are a couple of guys that can end up cracking it. And you never know how the season ends up breaking down. One of the guys we think may be a top 50 may not end up being one of those top 50 guys. But I thought that was a pretty interesting list from Pro Football Focus. Way too early. Glad they put that up there because it is way too early. Speaking of, you know, off-season material, off-season discussions, I also saw a on three quarterback ranking recently that had the Longhorns as the top-ranked quarterback room in the country. No surprise there, especially after watching the spring game. I think the country all agrees. I'm a little surprised. They have Ohio State ranked as the second-best quarterback room in the country, and then Oregon. And for those who don't know, Ohio State has Will Howard, who used to be Will Spill the Pill Howard. Now he's Will the Thrill Howard, I guess, if you get in. And Devin Brown, who's a really good young prospect. And they got a five-star freshman, Julian Sayin, who's also in that quarterback room. And then Oregon, of course, has Dylan Gabriel, seasoned vet. And they got the five-star transfer from UCLA, Dante Moore. And so they got some really good prospects. But, man, it feels like Texas's quarterback room is not only the best quarterback room in the country, but it actually might have a little distance between them and the second-best QB room in the country. Ohio State's look good, but Will Howard has been inconsistent at best. I think we could all agree. I don't even know. Do we expect Will Howard to win that job?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think so. Especially with what you saw from Ohio State's offense with a quarterback in the Cotton Bowl against Missouri, you're going to need a veteran guy to run in and kind of bridge the gap from 2023 to 2024. Those quarterbacks were just not prepared. They were not ready for that moment. It was one of the worst offensive games I've watched the entire season. And coming from an Ohio State offense, which has all of those weapons, that should never be the case. So Will Howard, for me, absolutely is going to be the starter there. And I think he's going to be fine. You know, we just saw Michigan win a national championship with a quarterback who I won't get into the argument of whether or not he's talented or not.
He just got drafted.
Didn't need to do a whole lot. I mean, they beat Penn State on the road by handing the ball off 30 times in a row. I mean, it just don't turn the ball over, essentially, and let your playmakers work. That's what Will Howard's going to be for Ohio State this year.
But have you seen Will Howard really do that? Like, Will Howard,
I've seen him hand the ball off pretty well to Deuce Vaughn in his career.
This is my thing, Coach. He never won the job really at K-State. Right, they brought in Martinez to contend with him 1 year, and then this last year was Avery Johnson and him. Has he ever really been the starter and quarterback? Has he ever really won the job at K-State? Now he's gonna win the job at Ohio State. Right? Am I wrong about that, Coach? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It is a strange scenario that happened. But I mean, the guy's a player, but I don't think he's gonna be. Yeah, I don't think. I'm surprised they ranked that room that high in this.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
When you take Texas top three quarterbacks, I mean, it's not even close in my opinion.
No.
And how long has it been, if ever, Texas had a quarterback room like this?
Closest thing may have been
like Sims and Applewhite.
Yeah, like 02, those years, like maybe 02 when you had a young Vince Young. You had Chris Sims still in there. That's 2 5 stars. I believe Chance Mock is in there as well, who also was a highly ranked blue chip quarterback. I mean, you're right. It's been a long time. I don't know if you've had a quarterback room this talented.
Well,
I really admit that. Even back then, that was a talented quarterback room, but I don't know overall if it's where this room is because it's –
Well, I say that, but you look at 2005. I mean, the two quarterbacks that were in that room in 2005 both have their jerseys retired at the University of Texas. Vince Young and Cole. Even though they were, you know, there's a lot of separation between them 4 years. Still, that's a that's pretty dead good. That's a pretty good room too.
No, you're right about that. No, you're right about that. Because I'm thinking more about rankings and ratings, but if you're just going off greatness and legacy. Yeah, there's no doubt. That's the standard right there. And that's when Texas, I mean, I would say that it's almost impossible to do, to be able to go that many quarterbacks, elite quarterbacks in a row. And I obviously we could, I'm not saying that Sims was elite, but high level, I would say multiple year starters in a row. Like that's hard to do for a lot of teams to have, consecutive multiple year starters. And like Texas did it with Sims. They did it after Sims. They ended up doing it with VY a little bit later on after a little bit of the gap. And then they did it with Colt right after that. Like, that is not as easy. Like, that's what Texas is trying to do now. You're trying to string together Quinn Ewers, a multiple-year starter, but consecutive years in a row, being a multiple-year starter, and then have Arch be able to do the same thing. Like, that is one of the keys to Texas ascending to greatness under Mac, was being able to kind of have consecutive years of multiple-year starters in a row. And when Texas really fell off of that, when they had a lot of injuries and just a lot of quarterback inconsistency and fell into quarterback hell, that was a big reason why. And now Sark is trying to get back to that consistency. You need two of them, of course, but in terms of a guy being a multiple-year starter, you know, Quinn and, you know, having Sam before that, also in terms of stabilizing it, that's hard to do. And Texas has been lucky and, you know, I would say blessed in that regard.
Yeah. No, 100%. You can go back and write a book essentially from that 2010 to 2016 period of quarterbacks that wanted to end up at Texas that didn't, and they weren't recruited, or they were recruited to play a different position that went on to, I don't know, go first overall or the Heisman. Who knows? I'm not trying to get back into that. Later on, you can actually write that book about Herman and the wide receivers that wanted to end up at Texas. But luckily now, it doesn't feel like that's the case at Texas anymore. Sarkisian's got his a good finger on the pulse there of what it means to go out and find elite quarterbacks and have that room, you know, stocked and readily available for game time should it come down to it.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of the quarterbacks, I did see this story about the new college football game. We don't know what the cover is going to look like. There's a lot of talk about the cover of the new college football game coming up. And apparently, and I got this from Front Office Sports, so I'm assuming it's pretty legit. They're saying that there will be current players, so no legacy, all-time great players. I'm not going to just go to his historically great players in college football history. That's not happening. There'll be current players on the cover, different positions, so not just quarterbacks, different positions, and each from a different power conference. This comes from a report from Matt Brown that they're going to have a full reveal for the game coming in May, but each they're going to have a different power conference that's going to be represented and by the different players. So will a Longhorn get some representation on this thing? Is it possible that you get a Quinn or a Kelvin? Quinn or Kelvin Banks are your only two options. What was that?
Did you catch that? Someone got the EA Sports going right now?
What was that? Yeah, I was like, what is that? That sounded like an evil kind of that sounded like some
EA Sports in the game.
There you go.
At first, I thought it was some evil creature. I thought Coach was doing us conjuring something over there. You know what that was?
In the game.
But no, is it possible, guys, that, I mean, Texas brand is as big as any brand in the country. Being a star at Texas makes you a star in the sport of college football. I'm on record. My Black Stradamus prediction, even earlier this year, was Arch will be on the cover in like 2 years. Like, it's a done deal. Like, it's happening, whether y'all like it or not. And he ain't got to be that good to do it. I think he is going to be that good, but he ain't got to be that good. They want him on the cover. Trust me, it's a Manning thing. But I digress. This upcoming game, so they're going to have multiple covers, it seems like. What are the chances? What are the odds that we get a Longhorn on the cover of the EA Sports game, video game?
Well, it certainly helps that they just came off of a college football playoff appearance, right? You know, they're expected to make that leap into the SEC and maintain a level of play that we haven't seen. Quinn would be my only bet. If there is a Longhorn on the cover, it would be Quinn. I actually think I saw, Rod, that it was going to be one. They have five covers and one per conference. So it's going to be one cover guy per conference. If that's the case, I mean, Quinn's going to have to beat out Jackson Dart, Carson Beck. That's a tall task a little bit, you know. You're now walking into the best conference with the best players right now. Who knows? But to me, for the SEC, it makes all the sense in the world for it to be the be Quinn or Carson Becker. Maybe a combo of the two setting up that game down in Austin later on this season, which we know is going to be probably the biggest game of the season, regardless of who's playing in it, because of the implications that will have on the top 25 rankings in the college football playoff.
Yeah, this one.
And the Heisman.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, you're right about that. If it's one per conference, yeah. I guess Shedeur Sanders is going to be for the Big 12 then, obviously. Big 10, I'm not sure. Who's the big star in the Big 10 now? Are we missing somebody, especially with the new-look Big 10? Who's the big star?
It might be Travion Henderson. We could see Will Anderson – or Will Johnson, the cornerback at Michigan.
Cornerback at Michigan, yeah. I can see that.
It better not be Drew Aller, the Penn State quarterback. Let's save everybody the time for that one. That's a good question. Who do we have in the ACC?
I haven't done enough research on the ACC to tell you that. That's interesting. I know Shedeur Sanders is almost a shoe-in for the Big 12.
You think ahead of Hunter?
Oh, that's good. I think a slight edge on Hunter.
A two-way player.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right, Coach. You're right. You're right about that.
He certainly has the name, and let's not fool ourselves. It's going to be a great player, but it's going to be kind of like a Taylor Swift. It's the name. The name should exactly. All the publicity that the Sanders get, they'd be a fool not to put him in there. But here's another thing you got to think about a little bit with Quinn is that if they're looking ahead, they're going to go, yeah, it'd be really hard to put two Texas quarterbacks back-to-back on there. And you know, like you said, Rod, they want Manning on there. There's no doubt.
That's true.
And so
you're right.
I could see them going, well, let's don't take a chance. And not that they would put Manning in there his first year. He needs to prove something. But you never know. With a 24 season of injuries, he could come in this season and make a name for himself if the unfortunate were to happen to Quinn.
That Big 12 race is actually pretty interesting. You know, you got the two Colorado kids, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter. Jalen Daniels up at Kansas was a big-time playmaker. And, I mean, Ollie Gordon still at Oklahoma State. That's four guys I could certainly see the case for in the Big 12. I would say more so than what we'd see out of the Big 10. Maybe Dylan Gabriel his first year at Oregon. I don't know if that makes a whole lot of sense. I think the Big 12 actually has a pretty compelling case for who their guy could be. I see the comment from Brandon Huey, Malik Murphy from the ACC, now that he's at Duke. Throw him on the cover. How about that?
That would be cool. Did he win the job? Is it his job? Did he win the job in spring?
It's his job. I don't think they have any competition there to derail him from being QB1 in Duke.
Real quick question. Since we're talking, I know it's a random question off the rails here. Is Hudson Card still eligible? Is he still playing? Hudson Card? He was at Purdue last year.
He's at Purdue. He's at Purdue, and if I'm not mistaken, Graham Harrell is the offensive coordinator there.
Okay. I was just trying to see
how he's still there.
Is he still there? Okay. So I was saying, so if Malik Murphy ends up winning that job, then that would mean that like two former Texas quarterbacks are starting in college football along with Quinn. And honestly, if you go back to Casey Thompson, Casey left and Casey became a starter at two places too, right? Wasn't he a starter at Nebraska for a while? And then he went to Florida. Is it Florida Atlantic or Florida?
Yep, Florida Atlantic.
And he started there, right? Interesting.
For a little bit. I think he got hurt again. So. To your point, could you imagine Hudson Card being the Big Ten cover athlete, and then you got Malik in the ACC and Quinn down here in the
– what's his name at
Cam Rising in the Big 12?
At Utah.
Yeah,
quarterback transfer from Texas at Utah.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about Cam Rising. You're right about that.
You're seven.
Cam Rising and Jaquindon Jackson. Did he get drafted?
He moved a running back, didn't he?
He transferred up to Arkansas. So Texas will play him this year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, Cam Rising, don't count Cam Rising out of the Heisman race. I'm telling you, man, that dude.
I like that.
That dude is he's a great football player, and he is very mentally strong. He carries himself really well. He doesn't let things get bigger than they are. Just from, you know, I helped recruit him out of California, so I got to know him pretty well. He's a sleeper for the Heisman. He's been waiting. I mean, he got hurt the end of the 22 season, missed the 23 season. He's ready.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good one, though. I got to look at the Heisman odds and see what Cam Rising's odds are. But I like it because Utah's always a contender. Got a hell of a coach and now a veteran quarterback. What did you say, 6 or 7 years now?
It's been a long time.
If it feels like that.
He came in in 17 or 18. I can't remember. 18. Yeah. He must have been 18.
18.
Man. Dude, yeah. God bless him, man. Hey, you know what? I think everybody's wanting to live, you know, that college dream where you're in college for 8 years or something like that. Man, it's amazing. These guys can do it. They're living the dream. They really are. Because they're making NIL money and these guys also.
Yeah. Let me tell you what the problem is. The same thing I hear in college about high school kids is the high school kids are all they're talking about, all they're focused on is getting a scholarship, making a name for themselves. Then when you get to college, all you're thinking about and everything you're doing is trying to get to the NFL. And I just don't think enough kids soak it in. Yeah. You know, your college years, man, that's the best years of your life.
Yep.
You know, you got your in the dorm, your teammates and your buddies and, you know, I mean, you're the big man all over town, and you know it worries me when guys all they want to talk about and think about and work on is getting to the league. Then you get to the league and you realize, man, this is just a job. I want to go hang out with the guys in the dorm. No, everybody's going home to their wives and their kids. I mean, it's not the same. Yeah, you know, right. not close. And the coach don't have to like you. He don't even have to act like he likes you. Nope. In the NFL. It ain't no popularity contest. And as we found out from Xavier, the facilities don't have to be very good either.
Nope, not at all.
They just don't realize how good they have it in college, man. Kids, and the same thing is true in high school. You know, I mean, if you're on a pretty good team, it's a pretty good time of life being a high school star. You know, and people want to rush on and get to the next level, Next thing you know, you're in the NFL and you're like going, man, this ain't what I thought it was, you know.
No, that's a great point.
Is that right, Rod?
No, honestly, Coach, I agree with you 100%. And I know we've all been in a rush to grow up. That's part of growing up, man. I want to be an adult. I want to get to the point where I have more freedom. But I'm with you. I found that out that – when I came back to school after being done with the NFL, after the NFL was done with me, I came back to school to graduate. And now it took me like another year basically to graduate, another like semester plus to graduate. It was some of the best times of my life. I had an amazing time coming back to school. I was that nerd in the front of the class. I'd done all the readings. I was leading the study groups. Oh man, I was enjoying it, Coach. I was one of those dudes reading out on the six pack, just on the grass, kicking it. I was actually a student. It really did. I went back and I thought to myself, I said, man, I should have been doing more of this when I was a student athlete. I should have been enjoying more of the student part. And I was just trying to be an athlete and get to the league. Like you said, Coach, I got to get to the league, man, get to the league. But I wasn't enjoying being a student athlete. I was just enjoying being the athlete part. But I should have enjoyed being a student more. You're right about that, Coach. And now the guys, they want to be early enrollees, get to college quicker, and they want to leave college sooner. But I will admit, man, and Quinn Ewers did that, by the way. Quinn Ewers, he was fast-tracked, and he decided to slow down. He's like, nah, I need to slow down. And that's exactly what you're describing is what he kind of described as to why he wanted to slow down and be in the moment. He described, say, I want to be in the moment more. I want to be present more instead of thinking about what's next. Where am I going next? What's next? Be in the moment.
And when you have a team as talented as we have, and you got the majority of the guys on that team that are trying to be in the moment, you better watch out. Buckle up. That's going to be a fun season.
Love that. Yep, that's nice words of wisdom from the coach. All right, let's get some words of wisdom from our friends over at South Point Dodge. We are very thankful for them for being on board sponsoring the winning drive, and we appreciate them being part of a winning team on the winning drive. So, Longhorn fans, you can score an easy point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff, they don't play games. They're not about gimmicks. They just get straight to the point, and that point is getting you the best deal possible. Go see them off I-35 in South Austin, or just visit southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. So go check them out, folks, at southpointdodge.com. Thank you very much to South Point Dodge for all of their continued support. All right, hey, we brought Dodge up earlier, see? All right, need to be breaking out them Dodges for them for the recruiting.
That's
video.
Right. You know,
that's you need to break out. You find out what kind of character these young men are about. All right, put them in that's a nice right. Dodge. All right, let's get back to it. Throw out your questions. We'll answer as many of them as we can. I want to get back. We'll give you another update on transfer portal targets. And a lot of people out there are still waiting, and we're waiting too with bated breath as to what's going to go down. But we'll give you another update on that. I want to ask you guys about something Sark brought up. Sark brought up his in his speech with the Touchdown Club down in Houston. And he had a lot of different things to say. But one of the things he brought up that I really thought was interesting, he talked about how the GPA of the team and the overall improvement of the team on field and off field. He obviously quantified the off field success with academic achievement. He basically talked about them mirroring one another. Here, I'll make sure I pull up the quote here. He says, basically, when we arrived at the University of Texas, we had a 2.3 team GPA our first season. We went 5-7, and we had zero players drafted. Year two, 8-5, 2.7 team GPA, 5 players drafted. Year three, 12-2, 2.98 team GPA, 11 players drafted. I've got a chance to talk to these young guys and during our Third and Longhorns podcast. So shout out to Nick Shuley and Alex Okafor and Derek Johnson and Jeremy Hills and Fozzie Whitaker and the crew. They're great. But that experience is so great because I can get to talk to actual players. You know, so they get to give you insight into the team, what's going on. You talk to a lot of players too, CJ, behind the scenes. But when they talk about the culture, and what is the day of the week? Is it culture Tuesdays or Wednesdays that they do, the players? There's a culture day. They call it culture one of those days.
Yeah.
I think it's culture Wednesdays, but I'm not sure. Multiple players have mentioned it to me, and I apologize if I got the day wrong. I have it somewhere in my notes, but my CTE may be kicking in. But they talk about this, but they talk about it almost like a therapy session. Like it's almost therapeutic. Well, they talk about their goals, and they talk about, you know, overcoming trials and tribulations, and they talk about perseverance, and they talk about what troubles them. It sounds like it's a lot more than just we're going to watch a movie together, or we're going to get together and we're going to, we're going to play, freeze tag, or we're going to get together and play, you know, dodgeball, whatever it is. It seems like I'm sure that's part of it too, the activities. But from what I talked to in multiple guys, it seems like it's deeper in that. And when they talk about culture, multiple players have referenced it as being habitual. Like it is just, it's in your habits every day in what you do on and off the field. And Sark actually champions that. He's like, hey guys, I want y'all to be great on and off the field. And he talks about getting guys who are competitive academically too. It's interesting. I don't think that's a coincidence. I mean, that's just about excellence. That's about cultural habits. And I think culture comes down to your habits every day. You know, what you do when nobody's looking, getting up when, you know, early when nobody's watching, you know, making your bed, you know, getting in your work, getting in workouts, getting to class on time, all those little tiny details that ended up, I think, making you a high achiever. And I think that's what he's got on his team, a lot of competitive high achievers.
Yeah, I think everything is magnified, and there's more emphasis put on the minor little details of when you have a good culture versus when you don't, because there's a different standard in which you are held to, not only by the coaching staff, but your peers around you. And so to have those little breakout groups and circles and get down to know, you know, not only your teammates and brothers off the field, but to understand what makes them click, to understand what makes them the people that they are, that goes a long way. So I think that's one of the biggest things that they've been able to instill here in Austin under Sarkisian is another reason for these guys to care about one another. And that's paid off so far. Not to mention, I mean, they're going out and recruiting, you know, I would say, you know, smarter football players, talented football players, just guys that care a little bit more. And that starts with the programs in which they come from. We've talked about in the past, Rod. I mean, Sarkisian's getting about 50-60% of his guys in each recruiting class from programs that win state championships. That makes a difference. They know what the standard is. They come into a season with a goal in mind. And of course, that's been the goal all year, that whole first semester in which they're playing football in high school. They understand what is at stake week in and week out. They know not to be the weak link or the guy causing distractions, because it will deter that group from achieving the goal. That's another reason in which I see this really paying off for Sarkisian so far, is these guys all come from like-minded backgrounds. That's to play good football, that's to win championships, and that's to be a good person off the field. So, absolutely, it's paying off.
And that's interesting you said that they come from similar backgrounds, because Sark talks about some of the stuff that he looks for when he's recruiting these athletes, and he says he looks for the guys from championship programs. Well, he prefers. Not every guy's going to be from a championship program, of course. But coach, he says he prefers players from championship programs. And the reason I think it is because I think it makes his job, essentially it makes his job easier, right? You get these guys from championship programs. Let's talk maybe a Westlake or a Lake Travis, just programs that are consistently contending and competing for championships. They have a championship process that they have perfected and they replicate, and the championship culture, because I've been around some of these schools, and they got them in Houston too. They got them in every part of Texas, right? The Katies and the North Shores in Texas, they in Central Texas here, says Westlake and Lake Travis, but they weed out bad character, bad football character. They weed it out. Those guys come with bad work ethic, who are selfish teammates, who, you know, those guys who aren't disciplined enough to be able to work on their own, the guys who don't want to dedicate themselves and commit the time, those kind of programs, those guys will be weeded out, or they'll fall so low on the totem pole that they'll be insignificant and won't matter. Or those programs will rehabilitate bad football character and turn it into positive, constructive football character, where you learn the work ethic and the dedication to commitment, learn how to be a good teammate, learn about, you know, sacrifice and all those things. And I think that's why Sark likes, because that's part of his culture, you know, team first. He likes guys from those championship pedigree programs, coach, because they make it easy on them. They've already weeded out or rehabbed the bad football character. And now I can start where these young men already have, begun, which is, you know, on the path to being a high achieving competitive athlete.
Yes. Teams that are constantly competing at the state level, they have a very high expectation, a very high standard, and the coaches are not soft. The coaches are very demanding. You have to be. You have to be. There's too much talent out there. You've got to be demanding. You have to demand excellence. And then the other thing that I see, and you alluded to it a little bit, is that, you know, these guys, sometimes if you're I worried a little bit about Tyrone Swoops. You know, Tyrone Swoops came in here from a high school team that, what, won one or two games his senior year in a small classification like 2A or 3A. And I would think if you're a Division I starting athlete, especially a skill position, you should be able to single-handedly win some games at that small level, you know, at that small of a school. But when you have guys that so when you have guys that were the studs, but they weren't on a very good team, they realize at some point, hey, this is about me. We're not going to win state, so I got to be about me, you know. And so you start getting a little bit selfish, you know. You don't like other people getting the ball because you think you got to do it all, you know. But when you, as you said, when you get to that level where you're playing at the level across competing for state championships, I should say, you can't be selfish. You got to be for your teammates and see that the goal is to win as a team. And, you know, there's no selfishness involved. So I love that. I mean, certainly there are some guys that fall through the cracks that maybe weren't on great high school teams, but they can come in. And as you were talking about, if they're open-minded and they really want to be the best they can be, they're going to watch these upperclassmen. They're going to learn how to respond in the culture that Sark has built.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, Coach. That's good stuff. All right, we promised you guys an update on the transfer portal target, Dominique Williams, and we brought in Bobby Burton, the man, the myth, the legend. All right,
big dog.
Yeah, the big dog. Big dog, Bobby Burton. Big dog, Bobby Burton.
Hey, then tell me that Bob Shipley doesn't have that retired tan right now. He's got the retired tan. Yeah. I got that nice May hue on my. Yeah. So, hey, Dominique Williams wanted to come in. Thanks, Rod, for asking me to come on. Dominique Williams, as of 30 minutes ago, had not officially told anybody where he was going yet. So it's kind of one of those things where we're still waiting, just as everybody else is. I do believe at some level, guys, that Texas remains in here along with Oklahoma. I think those are the two primary teams. I think LSU earlier in the day thought they were maybe out. I think they're still in it a little bit. I think Missouri could be in it more than most people think.
Wow.
He is. I think he's very much playing the field a little bit here. I don't think some people thought that the most important part of this is Texas visited with him, Kenny Baker, the new defensive line coach, last night for about 2.5 hours. Okay. It wasn't a home visit. I think it was at a restaurant or something, but long and short of it, apparently that visit went really well with Dominique Williams. Then this morning, he met with, or at least his representative met with Oklahoma. And apparently that meeting went really well, but at neither of those meetings was anything finalized. Right. And so their thought was, oh, well, he's going to announce at noon. He's meeting with OU at 10. What does that tell you, right? Here we are at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and still nothing decided. I think there's been communication across multiple teams today, back and forth. So I wish I could give you more than that, other than, you know what? We're waiting. That's what we're doing right now.
No.
Texas is not out of it by any stretch. I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to do. It could come down in the next 30 minutes, or it could carry into tomorrow too, as well.
Bobby, just one question: is there a backup plan or a contingency plan that if you don't get him, you have your eyes on someone else, or are they all in on Dominique Williams?
They think he's the best guy at the nose.
Yeah.
The one they took a look at was Simeon Barrow, a three technique at the Michigan State, but I think they like what they have at three technique right now enough to not have to go there and maybe save some powder for other positions. Barrow, I think, is going to announce between LSU and Miami, although I think Missouri trying to make a run there themselves again.
Wow.
You notice a couple of common teams there looking for defensive linemen right now.
Yeah.
And so we'll see where that goes, but Barrow was thinking about a visit to Texas this weekend, but that Texas kind of bowed out of that graciously.
All right. Thank you, Bobby. We appreciate the update, brother. We're waiting. And as soon as the news breaks, we'll have it right here at On Texas Football for sure.
All right, Coach, keep getting that sun, man.
Yeah, baby.
Take care of yourself, Coach.
Hey, Coach, you do look pretty tan. Bobby's right about that. I'm glad he brought it up. All right.
Yeah, he's just got to keep staying next to me on this little bubble we got. I think I'm helping him out quite a bit.
You are.
No, I got to get some hue in my room or something, man.
It's all the gray hair. The gray hair makes the tan pop a little more. You know,
white. Know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I like, he's right, though. I didn't really know. So I'm like, yeah, Coach, he is pretty damn tan, though.
Yeah, that big rainstorm last night we had, Rod, must not have gone all the way up to Coach. I'm telling you, I've been locked inside for a minute. I got Hey. That's my excuse, at least.
Coach has been out on the ranch, though. Coach is a country, you know, he's a country boy, so he's been out on the ranch doing stuff.
Yeah.
Coach,
well, let me tell you where I hadn't been. I hadn't been hanging out at Flat Creek Winery. And I definitely been hanging out in Las Vegas for a week doing a residency like CJ was.
That is true. Yeah, you should be. CJ, how are you not more tan? You did just come from Vegas. How are you doing?
You don't go outside in Vegas. I make it so you don't know what time of the day it is. You know how that goes. I mean, yeah.
That is fair. That is a good point. Yeah, I guess you could be there for a while and not go outside. That is the point. All right, there you go. All right, I want to get back to some of the Sark comments. Even speaking of what Bobby said, and we can go back to that too, because Sark did say at the Touchdown Club in Houston, they have the luxury. They don't have to take someone. He said, I'll make sure I get the quote here, that basically Sark said that they don't necessarily need to take anybody unless it is someone that's going to add value to the team. They don't necessarily have to bring in someone unless they can add value. So maybe they don't necessarily have anybody they're thinking about after Dominique Williams, because nobody else is going to add value. They need a true nose, a true zero technique. And all the other guys are kind of three techniques. Shows you how rare it is to find somebody that can play over that nose, Coach. That's why, you know, Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat, they said Sweat was going to drop. He didn't drop too far. And Byron Murphy got, if it wasn't for all the quarterbacks and wide receivers and O-line and tackles that were drafted, Byron Murphy would have been drafted in the top 10 in probably most any other year, because this year was just kind of crazy because of the QBs.
Hey, is Puna still with the Seahawks?
No, he's with a different team now.
You with the Bears? Is it the Bears?
No, I gotta look it up. He changed teams a couple of years ago. He left Seattle, and he's with Buffalo for a while. He's with Buffalo initially, and I don't know where he went after Buffalo. But I know because I followed Puna for a while because I was a big fan of Puna too. But you're right. I mean, that's why Puna's stuck in the league as an undrafted free agent, because he can play the nose. And if you could do that, there's not a lot of guys, even the big D linemen, that can do it.
No, that's what makes Bill
the Charger.
The Chargers.
Wow. Chargers now.
I didn't realize that. There you go.
All right. Maybe the Chargers will field a competent defense for once. But that's the new Harbaugh era for you. I wanted to make a point about Bill Norton. That's why Texas went out and added him so quickly. You know, you don't see 6'6", 330. No. You know, walking through the door all too often. So whenever you do have a guy that has an end to the staff with Johnny Nance and, of course, Tia Savea as well, I mean, it makes sense for Texas to go out and add him to the roster. The count that I have Texas at right now has 81 scholarships. So you can certainly go out and add a Javion Cole, a Dominic Williams, and still have room for another cornerback, a linebacker potentially. We've not addressed that need. Of course, Texas just lost two linebackers with Samaje Burrell and Kendrick Blackshear this spring. And of course, you can go out and get an all-conference or a punter in the sense that maybe you don't have to rush the development and play of Michael Kern, who's coming in June. So we'll see. But right now, sitting at 81 scholarships at least gives you that flexibility that we talked about Texas needing to get to be able to maneuver through the portal like we're seeing so far.
Yeah, Sark says we're at a point right now where we don't have to take a whole lot of risks on guys because we have a very deep roster. So he said basically if guys don't fit in our culture, we don't take them. Or if they're not going to add – and what I love how you put it, Coach. Sark didn't quite say this, but I think it's around the same mindset. And what did you say basically the question is when you're adding somebody, can they help us win
Can they help us win the national championship? Yeah.
Oh. I feel like Sark is thinking like you're thinking. I feel like he's thinking along the same lines, like, can you win? Yeah. Can he help us win a championship? If he can't, then why are we talking about it? Period.
Yeah.
Like, let's move on. Right. So I love what I'm seeing there. And hopefully the Dominique Williams things works out for Texas in their favor. Very interesting. It's coming down to the wire here. I'm starting to feel like CJ. I feel like we might see something tomorrow. I feel like it's getting late, but it could be some kind of late night hype thing. And hopefully that benefits Texas too. One other thing that Sark said that I thought was interesting from the Touchdown Club down in Houston, he talked about Ryan Wingo. I love this quote about Ryan Wingo when he was asked about him. He said, Ryan Wingo, he moves older. He's just stronger and faster that way than most kids that come in. he moves older. That's supposed to be like he basically, this guy's physically, he's just ahead of almost all of his peers. And probably a lot of the, you know, the older players too. And some of the underclassmen, they probably, the upperclassmen, I should say, he's probably ahead of them as well, just physically, maybe not mentally, because he doesn't necessarily coach have all the, he doesn't know the scheme really well. He doesn't have familiarity with it. Maybe not the timing with the quarterbacks, but physically, I think Sark, the way Sark is putting it, I don't know if there is physically a more gifted wide receiver out there than Ryan Wingo. Maybe Isaiah Bond, just because of his pure speed, but overall, Ryan Wingo's got probably more elite traits overall than even.
I think a lot of times when you see the young guys come in, it's an adjustment, obviously, because the talent level is nothing like they've been used to. But at the same time, you got a guy like Wingo, and one reason that guys maybe it takes them a while is that they're trying so hard and they're thinking too much.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they've done a really good job with him, and he's a really smart football IQ guy. And, you know, as you know, Rod, being a great receiver, it's not necessarily how fast you can get down the field. It's being really good at every phase of the route.
Yep.
Okay. Sometimes you don't need to be in a hurry. You need to buy your quarterback a little bit of time, you know, so you'll see him maybe have a little slower moves and then break it off later in the route. And the ball will be there. Sometimes a young receiver is not that patient. He wants to get open now, you know, but it takes a guy, and I'm hoping that he's learned that from some of the older receivers in the room. You got to be patient in your routes. Don't get out there and try to make things happen too fast, because in high school, it's kind of like first one that gets open, here comes the ball, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
And it's, you know, you can be covered in high school, but in college, you're open. I mean, you got to step on a guy, you're open. You know, open. In high school, they're going to throw it to you. So just a lot of football IQ and a lot of patience and being confident in who you are and your abilities.
Yeah, you're right about that. In NFL, those windows are even smaller. What's open in the NFL? You're like, that's open? That's open. That guy's open. You got a very small window to put it in. You're right about that, Coach, as you get to the higher levels playing that position. All right. I want to get to a couple of the questions if we have those. I got a couple of other topics that I want to get to. And one that's not Longhorn football related, but it's college football related. And I think it's interesting. CBS Sports reported this the other day, and I wasn't sure, you know, about how you guys felt about this. I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on it initially, because I think this stuff is happening faster than we realize behind the scenes, the changing landscape of college football. CBS reported that the SEC and the Big Ten essentially are in discussions about a revenue-sharing plan with the players. It's still unrefined. Obviously, it's just raw. It's just them talking about it. But they call it the modern model. It would not only share revenue with the players, but they're hoping that it'll settle a lot of these class action antitrust lawsuits against the NCAA right now, which, in case you've been keeping up with them, there are multiple antitrust class action lawsuits against the NCAA, and most of them are probably going to win because the courts don't like the NCAA, and they have accused them of violating antitrust laws in this country, numerous antitrust laws for decades. And the latest case is in January of 2025. It's House versus NCAA. There is a lawyer, because it's an antitrust lawsuit, which means you could triple the damages potentially, because it's a class action lawsuit. You could like triple the damages. And they're saying that if they win this lawsuit, the NCAA could owe like four something billion dollars. And that would essentially dissolve the NCAA. Like it would. They can't pay it. They would end up being a defunct organization. So they're trying to get ahead of this potentially and other lawsuits. And one of the ways they're trying to get ahead of it is a revenue sharing deal with the players. Coach, I don't know how quickly you thought they would get here, but like I said, this is still a ways away. But the fact that the big dogs, the two premier conferences, are already discussing it means, number one, they're thinking about leaving the NCAA potentially, because that might be part of their solution. But it also means that I think we're further along in this revenue sharing plan than maybe we all thought. And did you think we'd get here this soon, where at least we're the Big Ten and the SEC are discussing it? Hell, I think 10 years ago, this was considered a non-starter.
Yeah, no, I didn't think it would happen this soon. But when you talk about lawsuits and you're talking about the NCAA losing their backbone, well, one of the problems, I see a lot of dissension if this happens within each university. You know, maybe not the University of Texas, maybe not Georgia, maybe not Oklahoma, you know, Alabama, Florida State. But I see some contention there in within the school, because you've got some departments that are fighting like crazy just to get funding. And, you know, maybe a professor is trying to get a graduate student or whatever. They don't have the money to pay them. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. You got all this money coming in from sports and it's going to the players. And here we can't even have a fully staffed lab over here at Morehead State or whatever college I'm at. And yet our players are making more than the university president's making. You know what I'm saying? So I can see some contention there, you know, in the future. I don't think we would have the backlash at, you know, the top 10 or 15 programs in the country. But some of the other ones that are just fighting to keep their head above water, now all of a sudden, it really is a pretty cool thing when you look at the Longhorn Network. And I think just about 100% of the money that the university makes from that goes to the university, not the athletic department. You know, the coach, it's included in his duties as assigned. He's not getting a check from Longhorn Network. That was included when DeLoss negotiated that thing, you know, 20 years ago or whenever it was. And so I can see there being some problems, but I don't know that the NCAA is going to be able to survive this. And I think your top tier programs, like you were talking about, are trying to have, okay, we got a plan A and a plan B. We can try to head this off here. If we can't save the NCAA, we all have to be ready to go in and do something else on our own, especially the mega conferences, to keep the TV deals in contract, in contact, and not lose any more money than they possibly could.
Yeah. CJ, you got any thoughts on what may be a groundbreaking, revolutionary decision that should change college sports forever if the SEC and the Big Ten decide to agree on a revenue sharing deal with the players? I was definitely born way too early if this is the case.
Yeah, no doubt about that. To me, it's just another step towards the NCAA no longer having the jurisdiction over college football, which I think if you look at what Sankey and, you know, even, you know, Yormark to an extent, what they're trying to do with their own conferences is to distance themselves from the NCAA. I think you can even go back to, you know, COVID, whenever that came around and the NCAA said, we're not going to have a season, and the conferences stood up and they're like, whoa, 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 no, we're playing football. Like, we'll make sure it's safe, but you're not the ones in control of, you know, the scheduling, the financials, everything that goes along the lines of that. So it just feels like to me, it's just another reason for them to say, yeah, this is not going to work for us. And of course, we don't like what y'all have done in the past. So we're moving on. So I just think the days are numbered for the NCAA as the governing body for college football, especially. And then after that, I think other sports are soon to follow.
Yeah, it does feel like that. And, you know, I've always said, I think we're going to end up in an Android iPhone era of major college sports, where it's just, if you want to look for major college sports, you're going to have to go. You have two choices, Big Ten or SEC. Pretty soon, all the best athletes, all the revenue, all the best TV deals, you know, I think it'll all be in basically split between those two conferences. And you go look at the draft. I mean, the draft is gearing more toward that in the first place, the college football playoff, revenue sharing. Basically, you don't know anybody who has a smartphone that don't have either an Android or an iPhone. If you do, then they're probably pretty weird, or it's Elon Musk. He's got his own kind of phone, but they dominate the smartphone market. I think Big Ten is about to dominate major college sports over the next 10 years.
I just want to say one thing. You still got to have a governing body.
You do.
You still have to have some type of governing body. You can say, okay, well, we really don't need a governing body because there's really not going to be any more rules, because you can pay them whatever you want. You know, but there's still going to be you know, practice, recruiting, travel. I mean, there's still going to have to be some legislation and some governing body to keep everything, you know, on the straight and narrow. Otherwise, people are, you know, they're practicing all the time, anytime they want. And you know, you've got to have a governing body. I'm sure they would have something set up, university presidents or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. They would come up with their own rules too, probably. They would come up with their own NIL rules. The whatever that governing body would be over major college sports once the NCAA dissolves, which it seems like is inevitable at this point. It just seems like we just don't know what the timeline is going to be. All right, real quick, this is why you should buy X-Man stock, Xavier Worthy stock right now if you're a fantasy football connoisseur or a fantasy football enthusiast. Because the reports are, James Palmer is reporting that Rashee Rice, the Chiefs receiver, is going to be suspended at least half of the upcoming season. If that is the case, that means they really are going to funnel a lot of those targets that Rashee Rice is going to get to Xavier Worthy early on. So just a reason for you to buy more X-Man stock, as if that wasn't just an ideal fit for X-Man to go to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now with Rashee Rice out, they're definitely going to have to force feed the football to X-Man early and often. So there you go. A little fantasy nugget for you guys out there. All right, let's get one more shout out to our sponsor before we get out of here and close this thing down. Really happy that South Point Dodge is on board. Really excited about this partnership. So Longhorn fans out there, it's time for you to score big. And you can score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock and their award-winning sales staff. They don't play games, folks, and they're not about gimmicks. What they're all about is getting straight to the point. And that point is to get you the best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge. You can go see them off 535 South. It's I-35 South, Austin. Or you can go to southpointdodge.com. That's southpointdodge.com. So get to the point at South Point Dodge. So thank you very much for your support. All right. Any last words, gentlemen, before we close up shop and get out of here? CJ.
Got one more. Make sure you guys come join us on OnTexasFootball.com. Of course, come be an OTFOG. Get the latest updates from Bobby Burton, Jerry Hamilton, myself, Rod, Coach, everybody involved. We, of course, just posted a note up on Dominic Williams. Of course, you just heard Bobby jump on stream just now and discuss that as well. We're awaiting a decision. Could come anytime from right this moment to tomorrow morning. Who knows? Of course, we do expect Texas to be in that final consideration with Oklahoma, LSU, and Missouri kind of lingering around at the moment as well. But come join the community. We got a great thing going on. For $39.95, you can become an OTF OG, or for $6 a month, just about, you can come join us on TexasFootball.com for all the latest Texas Inside team notes, recruiting intel, just great community notes. So we'll be around there. Come join us at OnTexasFootball.com.
Yeah. What I love about On Texas Football, the crew that we have, the family that we put together here in this community that we're building. Sark talks about being obsessed. Trust me, folks, all the folks that work for On Texas that are trying to build this community, they're obsessed with giving you guys the best information, the most well-sourced information out there, and getting you the best breakdowns. You guys know, look at all my damn papers here, right? Around here, all right? Nobody's more obsessed with making sure that I know about the scheme that Texas is running and I can give you the best analysis about what Texas is doing. That's the same thing for me and CJ behind the scenes. Jerry Hamilton is never at home. He's always in his damn car, and Bobby Burton don't sleep, all right? These guys are obsessed, and I'm really proud to be a part of this community and glad that you guys are part of this community. Coach, I'm glad that Coach is part of this community. Coach, you got any last words for the people?
Oh, I got a little more daylight. I got to go out and get a little more sun. We got some thunderstorms rolling around Abilene, so it ain't going to be much sun right now.
There you go. A well-tanned Coach Shipley. We appreciate his wisdom. Also, my man Matthew behind the scenes. Guys, Matthew, also obsessed and committed. Nobody works harder for Owen Texas Football and for you guys and for this community than my man Matthew behind the scenes. He is truly the real MVP. Thank you very much, Matthew. Can't say that enough. All right. So thank you. And for our good friends at South Point Dodge, for Coach Shipley, for CJ Vogel, for Matthew, for Bobby Burton that joined us, and for all you guys out there, Really appreciate you guys. And until next time, remember, you can join us Monday and Thursday for the winning drive. We'll try to start up around 4:15. Sometimes we're a little bit late, around 4:10, 4:15. And we try to go around by 5:30 whenever we finish up. So we appreciate you guys joining us. Remember, you can join us coming up tomorrow. You'll have the what are you going to have coming up tomorrow, CJ? I know they got coffee and football.
But the Longhorn live stream at 1 p.m. So come join us there. Of course, coffee and football in the morning. Yeah. And, of course, by then, I hope we got some good news with Dominic Williams.
Yes. Also, stick around for that. Just follow my man CJ. At CJ Vogel _ OTF.
OTF. There you go.
Ooh. Coach, give your Twitter handle out there. You got more Twitter followers than all of us.
I don't even know what it is. I don't follow. That's great. I don't follow myself.
I don't even know what it is. There it is, right
Robert
there.
Robert Shipley too. Yeah.
Boom. Beautiful. I don't even. There's 30,000.
There's 30,100 idiots out there. That's all I know.
Coach making us all look bad. He don't even know his Twitter handle, and he's got 10,000 more followers than all of us. So. Yeah, Coach, you're doing it big. All right, for Coach Shibley, for CJ Vogel, for my man Matthew, for South Point Dodge, for Mike Vernon, on Texas Football Family. Until next time, hook 'em.